Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's
invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
If you're wondering right now where your glasses are, you're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission.
Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
This stuff isn't rocket science, people.
So what I thought we'd do today is have my very dearest friend, Agnes Green, come on and be and co-host with me.
Hi, Jenny. Yes, I am here.
Hello. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you do? Because you do what I do, but I think you can say it better.
Okay. I am a coach specializing in ADHD. I coach adults and children and parents. And basically what we do is as coaches, we use the information that we've learned in school, which concentrated a lot on the ADHD diagnosis and all the information gathered and the experts in the fields, the doctors, the research information, the different learning hospitals that have information. And that's all pooled in our learning curriculum as we also learn to become coaches. So that's, you know, I can coach anyone from someone that does not have ADHD or someone who does. My passion is people with ADHD because I think that there's such a huge gap between the psychiatrist or primary physician that treats them for the medication and the tools that the ADDer needs to be able to be successful.
Oh my gosh, that's the truth. What's up with that? Why don't the doctors know?
They get about 20 minutes of training in ADHD in school. They have to know so much, and there isn't really a specialist, perhaps maybe a cardiologist that knows everything about the heart. You would never be able to find an ADHD specialist per se. You would find a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but not a person that makes it their full-time effort to learn everything that they can about ADD. That and the fact that it's changing so quickly.
Right. I think we know more now in the last couple years than like in the last 20 combined.
Exactly.
Right. So in ADHD, and they're making their business to know everything about the latest research, but you have to do your research to find a doctor who's done that for himself, because you're saying they don't get it in medical school, the training.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
No, they don't. And so they themselves need to gather a group of people, scientists, researchers, you know, and learn everything they can.
Like that Penn State thing that we went to.
Yeah, exactly. The symposium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We went to the, what was it called? Penn Behavioral Health Symposium.
Yes.
Yeah. In Philadelphia last year together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was our first time we met face to face. That was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
Oh my gosh. That was like a year ago. Last month.
Was it that long ago?
I think so. I think it was last March.
Wow.
So, yeah. Anyway, so I've known you now over a year. And I thought it'd be fun to do the show together because I found this really incredible guy named Eric Clark, who is really into social media, amongst other things. He's really into education and he's a smart guy. So I asked him if he'd be on the show because it'd be a lot of fun to talk with him and with you, since you and I are both trying to develop our social media and coaching businesses. Maybe he could give us some tips.
Well, I would love for him to give us some tips, especially because we're going to make the topic Twitter, I believe.
Yes, correct? Yes, right. You know, in a minute, will be speaking with him. His name is Eric Clark. He's a loving husband and devoted dad to two amazing daughters, and recently became the assistant head at the Woodward School after 6 years of high school administration. And he's excited about his career's new direction, his love for education, and his connections he's made on Twitter.
Wonderful.
So, which will be us. So feel free to connect with him there at capital EA underscore Clark. And let's get him on the line here. So, hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Jenny.
So I thought today what we could do is talk a little bit about Twitter, because I met Eric on Twitter. I know Agnes and I are always talking about starting our business with, you know, with ADHD coaching. I thought it'd be worth talking about, because a lot of people don't understand Twitter.
Right.
I'm really behind the eight ball when it comes to Twitter.
Yeah. And Eric, you have like 3,000 people following you or more. So what's the deal?
It took a minute. I mean, this is years and years of experimentation. I was a Twitter quitter at first. I'd signed up. I didn't see the value. I couldn't figure it out. And then when I was 28 years old, it's when I really started using Twitter. And I don't know if it was because it was my way of sort of mitigating my distractedness, or it helped me to stay focused or whatever. But I was really interested in seeing how things connect and things. I mean, people, because they're 6 degrees of separation or whatever it is. And you can sort of build out these maps of how people connect and find ways to add value to other people's lives by using your network and connecting people that are working towards a common mission. And I think that's where my success, I don't know if you can qualify or quantify it as success.
But that's so cool. You're making it sound like,
I like that. There's a lot of programs that are getting started in businesses and schools alike that are trying to do just that. Get the groups that have the value and bring it to the audience.
Exactly. And I think when I started, it was more, let's use this as a tool to broadcast, communicate, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that was the wrong perspective. If you put other people first and figure out how you can help somebody, you're going to find that that's going to help you. You're going to build credibility because people can see your authentic self. And I think that's one thing. If you're starting to use Twitter, you really got to get away that as this is a broadcasting tool, this is a relationship tool.
And I like that.
Figure out how to use this tool to build meaningful relationships with people all across the world.
Neat. How do you use it, Eric?
So I use it. So my brain is all over the place. I have so many different interests. Education is one of my major interests. So I use Twitter to connect with educators all across the world. Actually, at the Woodward School, where I just became the assistant head in August, we had a woman from Melbourne, Australia, come to the school on a fellowship. And we have continued our dialogue with one another via Twitter.
Oh,
cool. There's a huge time difference, but the tool allows us to stay connected and talk about sort of these strategies. When I help my students to sort of stay organized and whatnot, you have to find a way to organize whatever it is you're working with. So my Twitter list, you're going to have specific headings or titles of these lists, and then you're going to put people in those lists that meet certain categories. So if I'm looking to create a list of ADHD coaches, I'm going to label that list as such. And as I come across people in my feed that have some of those characteristics, I'll go ahead and add them to the list. So I don't necessarily need to keep them all in my mind at one time. I can go back and look over this list and say, okay, I remember this person because of X, Y, and Z, and then engage them in meaningful conversation.
Oh, that's cool. So that's what I was asking, Agnes. How far have you gotten with Twitter?
Oh, I'm a Twitter critter. Now that I learned that new word, definitely. Like Eric, I didn't know how to use its value. Mm-hmm. And the way that you talk about it as a communication tool, I think it's great. One of my friends runs a school, speaking of education, for autistic children, and she firmly believes in the Kennedy-Krieger method. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Eric.
But
the premise is you bring everybody to the children. You bring the psychologist, you bring the teachers, you bring the doctor, the psychiatrist, the people that are working on their occupational therapy. And you bring all these people together rather than have the parents run these children from place to place. So I can compare this to Twitter, because it seems to me you can have a conversation in the same way from different backgrounds on one central subject, or in this case, the school, one child.
Exactly.
And the child benefit.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And I think
For ADHD, I would bring in all the resources. People come from different angles when it comes to ADHD, the medication angle, the neurodiversity angle, the support when it comes to cognitive feedback. I think, you know, some people like medication, some people don't. But if you bring all the ideas to the audience, like you said you do on Twitter, I think that we would be able to help so many more people in such a way that they'll be able to find something for them. It's not exactly just one flavor.
Exactly. While you're talking, I'm going to see if there's, I'm pretty sure that there's an ADHD chat. Well, that is another way you can use Twitter to connect folks. So yeah, there's an eight. So the hashtag symbol or the pound sign ADHD chat is, oh, duh. That's where I met Jenny.
Yeah. I was going to say,
oh man, chat. I need to go get my cardiovascular in so I can get my neurons firing in the right way. Good night. I knew I learned about it somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, just something like that also. That's sort of a primary feed where people from many different backgrounds will come together and speak into that particular conversation, but at the same time, bring their own flavor to it.
Right. Exactly. Do you know about that, Agnes, about using the hashtag?
Yes, I got that far.
Okay.
And I follow a few people, but I never go back to it. In fact, I took it off my phone, but I think I need to, you know, I would love to use it to help people just expose it to other people who have ADHD and do not realize that there might be somebody halfway across the world that has so much in common with them when it comes to the struggles of ADHD. And because it's kind of anonymous, you don't have to worry about, you know, your workplace finding out or something like that, because it still has quite a stigma attached to it. Yeah. And I think it's a comfort zone for people, that anonymity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this is a big question I have, though, Eric, is like, if you have ADHD and you're using Twitter, because like in 1 minute, you can have 50 feeds like popping up. I'm like, whoa, it's crazy. It's very addicting.
Uh-huh.
So how do you manage that?
And
so that's controllable, you know, or anybody, what do you recommend we do to control that?
I was afflicted by that. I'd have a thing glued to my hand and it would cause me to not engage with folks sitting in front of me. So, I mean, something as simple as let's put your phone in a whole nother floor in your house, really setting some strict boundaries and providing structure. So I was diagnosed at 28 years old with ADHD. I tried the meds route for a year. I didn't really like it with some of the side effects and whatnot. So I had to go and create systems that would allow me to be successful. And one of those systems was making sure I didn't have the phone on me all the time, because it would be extremely addicting. One thing my friend Ed Cabellon, he's a administrator at Bridgewater State University. He talks about shutting off all notifications on your phone, so you don't have the push you don't have the push notifications coming, and then you can really set aside some time, say once every 2 hours you go and check, as opposed to looking every 30 seconds to see if you have a notification. Developing good habits. It's easier said than done, but I think that's a helpful approach to take.
Yeah. When you do your Twitter, I'm just really curious how did you build up to have so many people that want to hear what you say or what you connect for them? Like, how'd you build up an audience?
So I started by engaging in Twitter chats, and it varied from business chats to education chats, and just engaging with people. I like to read what people have to say, and then I'll respond and comment back. And I think engaging in that dialogue, it's a very organic way to get people to follow you. And if I often want to curate great content, to be known, the term thought leader is somewhat overplayed, but just to be known as somebody that shares good content and that I'm reliable, and that may be a reason why.
Right.
So I try to be as transparent as possible when I'm using the platform. And I would think that that helps a little bit.
Yeah, that's one thing I found that I really am enjoying is like meeting all these really cool people. Mm-hmm. I mean, like really meeting them. It's not just messaging. It's like, oh, what do you do at the school? And what's going on in your world? And so, Agnes, do you have any Twitter questions? Because are you set up? Do you have a Twitter account?
I do have a Twitter account. I don't remember what it is, but I do have one. And it doesn't have like a fancy handle to it.
Can do you need me? A fancy handle?
No, no fancy handle.
Does it have your name in it?
I think so.
All right, let's search.
I keep getting problems.
Yeah, no, we can hear you.
All right. No, I don't. I think it has my name in it. Yeah.
All right, we'll see what we can find.
Oh, you're looking for me?
We'll search for you.
Yikes, I don't remember.
See, that's the fun with technology is you can...
Oh, wait, I put everything in my phone. Let me see.
Because I don't remember seeing you on Twitter. I've seen you on Google Plus, I think.
Oh, really?
Do you have an egg as your avatar? have you hatched yet?
That's another thing. You have to have a good picture. And not that I've got the best picture, but I used to have no picture.
Uh-huh.
And I realized once I put my picture up, people would actually talk to me instead of like a picture of what I want my book cover to look like. I was really looking at it like you said, a messaging tool. Yeah. It's not that. It's really an engagement tool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
Did you find her?
There's a couple of them. Where you don't think I found her yet.
Aggie G 125? Any of them?
Aggie G.
Sounds gangster.
Yeah, when I get around.
It does sound gangster.
What's that?
We could put a big clock around your neck. And
Flavor Flav. That's so funny.
Meet me, Aggie G. Peace out.
I'll search for you after.
Yeah. So I think making a profile that people can find would definitely be a help. But with Eric, you do, like, because you're in education, it's really most important to have your name, I guess.
Right, and Eric Clark is kind of a common name, so I had to be creative and make it so you could at least associate my screen name or my handle with who I am. So it's my first initial, my middle initial, underscore Clark, and that's sort of what I've assigned to most of my social media platforms. Yeah. So that's me, EA underscore Clark. It's relatively easy. People know. And then I obviously have a dorky picture of my avatar. As my avatar.
Well, I saw you're part of like this beard thing. What is, it's like a beard society?
So this is new. This is no more than 2 weeks old. And the basic premise is we're a group of guys that have a love for social media and a love for beards. And those two core things are what brought this group together. But now we are all sort of collaborating, trying to find ways to support one another, add value to one another.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it came under the idea of one guy threw a group of us into a group direct messaging chat. And I thought this thing's going to be stupid. There's no value here. But quite frankly, I feel like I'm closer to these guys than I am with a lot of other people that I talk to, because we actually have real conversations, not this fleeting, how are you, surface level type of stuff. It actually goes deeper, which is kind of refreshing.
Who would have thought with the beard and social media? I love it.
You gotta throw the bow tie in the mix and it'll be
well boring. I know, I was gonna say my husband would love your bow tie for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he does bow tie Wednesdays at his job.
Nice.
Up in Boston.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
They do bow tie Wednesdays. So Agnes, what are your thoughts so far?
I don't think I'm gonna be bitter about Twitter anymore.
You're no longer going to be a bitter Twitter quitter.
There you go. I'm wondering, how often do you Twitter? That's the other thing. Some of these technology, they've got where you can post your stuff ahead of time and then it spits it out. And that seems to be defeating what you're saying, which is like authentic engagement.
So this is sort of my hybrid idea with that, because these are a lot of, like, I'll use apps like Buffer, Hootsuite to schedule out tweets, more specifically articles that I want to share.
Mm.
Because what I'll do is I'll take my iPhone and I'll open up the Zite app and then I'll read for 30, 40 minutes and then I'll come across 12 great articles. But I don't want to inundate my feed with those articles all at one time. So if I buffer them, it'll share them out over a period of days. It essentially starts conversations that I want to have anyway, just more strategically over time.
Yeah, I like that idea.
And then if somebody happens to be watching the feed at that point in time and they come across it and it sparks a dialogue, then let's go. But I don't want to be that guy that fills a feed
Yeah, there's a few of them that they you see all of a sudden 12 things from this one person.
Right.
Or I'm guilty of that because I'm on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So I'll make a post, then I'll do something, I'll make a post, and then I say, wow, you know, I'm doing the thing I hate.
Exactly.
I don't, but I'm really here.
Right.
Like, I really want to be engaging, but.
Right. Hmm. I do it too. And I think having tools like Buffer and Hootsuite help mitigate that issue a little bit.
Interesting. Buffer, you said?
Yeah, it's the Buffer app. You can get it online. It's an online solution as well as on your mobile device.
Okay, I never heard of that. I'll have to check that out.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, well, I find the same thing. There's things I want to share. And if I'm online in the moment, I try to throw it out. But I hope for a day when I'm not glued to the computer. You know, right now I am.
Yeah. I'm less on the computer now than what I was before without these apps. And then I use another commune.it, which I can send you a link to.
You know what? They've been sending me. Yeah, you've got 40 credits towards your something and a membership. I was like, no, I don't need this. But you think it's good?
There should be a free version. It helps me. It keeps track of who you haven't talked to in a while. So it tells you who or recommends who you should re-engage with. So if you're wanting to build relationships with people and you're not assessing in your own mind that, hey, I haven't spoken to so-and-so in a little bit, they'll
remind you of that.
Yeah, they'll tell you who you should speak to.
Is there any reporting that is native to Twitter?
In terms of analytics?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are. They're actually quite good, but you'll need to dig. I don't know how specific they'll get in terms of who your influencers are and things of that nature. I've just used commune.it and I've paid for the mid-tier because I oversee a couple of different Twitter handles. It's a valuable thing.
That's cool. You know, this is a question that I have seen talked about on Twitter, and I'm like, so when people unfollow you, do I really need to know that?
No.
Because to me, like, that means nothing, right?
Right.
Right. Okay.
And I watch it because I want to know who's engaging. And to me, a follow is that first sign of engagement. But if they follow you and then immediately unfollow you, to me, that's telling me they want to build up their following and not really engage.
Okay.
So it's almost like a bait and switch. So yeah. I really don't want to mess with those type of people that aren't interested in entering in some type of dialogue. It doesn't need to be this super deep stuff, but they at least have to try to engage and get to know me. And if they're not interested in doing that, I'm not interested in following you either, because I'm not into one-sided relationships.
I gotcha. Oh, interesting. So then how do you end up getting more followers than you follow?
There's just some people that follow for the sake of following.
They just follow.
Yeah. And to me, when I have too large, I probably was following 2,000 people at one time, but my feed goes so quickly I can't really see
I can't see
the true value that's embedded there, and that comes from the people that engage in dialogue back and forth, and those are the people that I want to make sure to follow. There's no offense to anybody else, I'm sure they're sharing great stuff, but if we're not talking to each other,
then Twitter doesn't matter.
Right.
It's sort of like when my kid was in high school and she wanted to have all the Facebook friends.
Exactly.
You know, like I had 20 Facebook friends and she had like 2,000. And
exactly.
I was like, you don't know 2,000 people.
Exactly. Same thing with Instagram. Yeah. I think it's so easy to get sucked into the mindset, oh, the more you have, the better you are type of thing. It's a measure of it's a measure of your value, which isn't true.
Which is in Twitter, it's quantity, quality, not quantity.
Exactly, and not everybody sees it that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool. So, see how much. Oh, I just learned so much. Thank you. You have any other questions, Agnes?
No, I'm good, Jenny. Because I think I may have questions at another day. I have to get my feet wet first.
Yeah.
I won't throw you in without the life jacket on.
Thanks, Eric.
I think we're going to have to meet again.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. All right.
This was
so,
a lot of fun.
I'll see you guys later.
You're listening to CNADHD Talk Radio. Tweet us now at CNADHD.
So that was a lot of fun. Wow. What do you think?
I am so stoked. All that information, I can't wait to try it out. It's not as scary as I thought it would be, and it's not as complicated as I thought. And Eric, what a charming guy. Thank you so much, Eric.
And, yeah. And listen, before we go, I want you to tell everybody how they can reach you.
You can reach me at AGGIEG 125 at MSN.com.
Aggie G.
Aggie G. That's right. Aggie G 125 at MSN.com.
Perfect. All right. Well, I will talk to you soon, Agnes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Agnes. Special thanks to Eric Clark. Music provided by podcastthemes.com. So that's it for the show, everyone. I want to thank you for tuning in and joining me as I begin my podcast adventure. More episodes are coming out soon. And whether you have ADHD yourself, live with or love someone with, or all of the above, remember, all of us are in this together, and everybody benefits when we begin to see through the other's eyes.